You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action and the best of the action on day two of the Cambridgeshire meeting at Newmarket. Alongside that, we've got Haydock and Worcester in the afternoon, and it's Newcastle and Dundalk to provide the action in the evening. You'll hear all of that on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Gareth Topham, Andrew Mount and Rory Delaghi in the studio. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Ollie Pimlott. How are you all?
Very well, John Boy. Good to be here.
Good. Nice. We're going to take a quick look back at the first day of action at Newmarket, and then we'll get stuck into day two of the Cambridgeshire meeting. We'll start with a feature race all. The Tattersall Stakes, a Group 3 contest over 7 furlongs, went the way of Larchmont Lad, who returned at 8-1, beat Whitecliffs of Dover at 9-2, and Sir Dancelot back in third at 9-1. A lot of talk before the race, though, was about Escobar, who didn't even manage to hit the frame.
Yeah, and I'm not sure at the minute, time of recording, whether he's been asked to be routine tested, but that would be rather ironic, given his name, Mark.
Yeah, I suppose it would, wouldn't it?
Escobar, named after Pablo Escobar, of course, the huge cocaine dealer.
Yeah.
Very well named with the white nose, but he completely bombed out. He didn't run his race. Obviously, at time of recording, we don't know what the situation is, but he clearly didn't run up to what he'd shown on his first two starts, having come into the race unbeaten. So I would just put a line through that.
Is there just a chance that the form was overrated for Escobar? He's won in small fields.
He has won in small fields. Well, he didn't on debut. Obviously, he won that Newbury Maiden.
Yeah.
He beat 14, and he was very errant on that occasion. He got himself very worked up, and that's why he returned at 16-1. It wasn't that he was unfancy, it was just because he was so badly behaved in the parade ring and going down to the start, where I think he lost his jockey, James McDonald, on at least one occasion. He won at Newbury following that in the Washington, and he beat four, but he couldn't have done it any better. But you just put a line for it. I think he beat one home in the end. I think he only beat Bear Valley home. So I would put a line for it. Surely something will come.
Yeah.
Will arise from that. And yeah, he's better judged on his previous two starts.
What did you make of the winner? Because we haven't really mentioned him, and he won the race. Obviously, third in listed company at Doncaster last time, stepping up into a Group 3. He's won two of his three starts. He's going the right way, isn't he?
Yeah, and the Hanan Yard now won it four times since 2009, a race, the Tattersall Stakes, the Somerville Stakes, which is now which it was formerly, in which they've got a very good record. Obviously, formerly Richard Hanan Senior, now Richard Hanan Junior, but all the same operation. And Larchmont Lad certainly took a big step up on that third at Doncaster last time, where arguably just a little bit green to do himself justice. Ken Pitterson, when I was in the studio, said this was one of the best fields he'd ever seen of the race.
Right.
So I think the strong is very strong indeed. Like the look of Sir Dancelot, he eventually finished third, just touched off by the over $1 million yearling that was Whitecliffs of Dover, son of Warfront, who finished second. And he looked green as well on only his third start, having picked up a maiden on its second. But just being by Warfront, Mark, Whitecliffs of Dover, there is that little bit of a question mark. Looking at him physically, if you didn't know he was by Warfront,
yeah,
you would say he's going to be some three-year-old next year because he's big, he's strong. You'd say he'd be an absolutely cracking three-year-old. But being a son of Warfront, we all know what went on with Air Force Blue this season and what we've seen in the past. They don't tend to train on sons of Warfront. So Whitecliffs of Dover would probably be the one to take out of the race, but there's that huge question mark of him being by Warfront, because he certainly was green in the latter stages. He was headed and then was running on in the final stages, so a step up from 7 furlongs to a mile could be in the offing for him. And the third, Sir Dancelot, son of first season stallion Sir Prancelot, who's had a very good year himself, and David Ellsworth, who had such a nice 2-year-old winner at the weekend at Newbury, seems to have another really good 2-year-old on his hands in Sir Dancelot, who again, it was a 3-way go in the final stages, and he's probably been done for a little bit of a lack of pace in the closing stages as well. So three really nice colts there, Larchmont Ladd, Wycliffe Sadova and Sir Dancelot. But I wouldn't ignore any of the others that ran in that race. Certainly there'll be more to come from Best Solution, who, of course, that the form of that race was franked. The run at Windsor was franked earlier in the day by Fly at Dawn. So that form had already been franked, and he was no disgrace further back in the field. So probably the strongest race on today's card, and certainly from what Ken told us, what he saw, and certainly the way the front three pulled clear, very much ones to put in your notebook.
Okay, put them in your notebook then. What else stood out to you on the card? Other winners at the time of recording this were Urban Fox in the conditions race, Flight Dawn, which you've mentioned in the nursery handicap, and Eminent won the opening maiden on the card as
well.
There
was one horse to take out of today's action. It would be Highland Pass. There was only four runners in the end in the conditions race, the 3:10, but beautifully bred Highland Pass made an eye-catching debut at Kempton, finishing only 4th of 6, Mark. Mm-hmm. But this filly is exceptionally well-bred, being a half-sister to Barocco and Elm Park, of course. Elm Park himself was a very good 2-year-old. Didn't see him much at 3. But she was not knocked about, given that sort of a perfect second introductory ride by Oisin Murphy. Plumped straight into a conditions race where they could have run her in a low-grade maiden and she would have, she would have bolted him, but wasn't knocked about. She just, that was her first start on the turf. And she'll have a she'll find winning a maiden no problem whatsoever, and possibly, you know, I think she'll be a black type performer next year.
Yeah,
she's big and gangly. Certainly, she's more like a stallion, Passing Glance, who's big and gangly. Seems to get big gangly types, long, rather than the likes of Barocco and Elm Park, who are quite large, strong. Whereas she's sort of took on the traits of her sire, rather than the mare she's out of, Lady Brora. But of one to take out today, she was certainly at Highland Pass. Admittedly, she'd only finished 3rd of 4.
Mm.
But the fact Andrew Balding, who's not one to tilt at windmills, has put her straight into conditions race, having only finished 4th on debut at Kempton, that was a strong race. There was 2 former last time out winners in that. She's definitely the one to take out today. That's Highland Pass.
Mm-hmm. One of those back end 2-year-olds that you put in the notebook for the 3-year-old campaign. Good stuff, all. Right, let's leave that there. That's the first day of the Cambridgeshire meeting then at Newmarket. Let's get stuck into day 2's action. We're going to look at the first 4 races on the card. We'll get all these thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
First race on the Friday is the 155, the Rosemary Stakes, a filly's listed race over a mile. It's for 3-year-olds and older. At the time of recording this, the market is headed by Promising Run, who's 5-1. Shadihan is 6-1, 9-1 for Mufriha. Pirouette is 9-1, 10-1 Laugh Aloud, 10-1 also Wilhelmina. 11s or bigger for the others. We'll start with Promising Run, if we may. Arrives here in winning form, having won a race.
Won at Velifendi in Turkey last time. Only beat 5 rivals. The form of that race probably wouldn't be the strongest. Was a Group 3, admittedly, but Group 3 probably in name alone. The International Istanbul Trophy, that was a Group 3. Over at Velifendi, probably better judged, I think, Mark, on its runs earlier in the season, where 6th in the Group 3 at Goodwood, probably better judged on that. Admittedly, I think this is quite a low-grade filly's listed race. Deserves to be favourite, but I think there's a few lingering here. A little less exposed, with fewer miles on the clock, who could be ones to look at bigger prices. Does set the standard. Proved herself in good heart in Turkey, but I think she's better judged on that Goodwood run, where she ran okay in group from company, drops in class,
yeah,
but could well be liable to an improver.
Okay, plenty of others in there with chances, the likes of Ashadihan and Wilhelmina and Pirouette and so on. Where would your money be going here, Al?
My money would be going on the bottom horse number 17 on your race card of Wilhelmina for Martin Mead, who had a very, very nice winning 2-year-old on debut, Eminent. Of course, today by Frankel was impressive. Had a 3rd in the Group 3 at Maison Lafitte yesterday. Very good and shrewd trainer indeed is Martin Mead. And I thought it was a real good maiden. She won on the July course back in June. She didn't run as a 2-year-old, so she's a big backward filly by Zoffany. She was runner-up in a listed race next start, and probably last time the ground was certainly on the sharp side. At Haydock, that was the Dick Kern Filly Stakes she ran in, where she ran no race whatsoever. She only trailed in 11th for 13, but far better judged on that second behind Light Up Our World, and of course on that maiden win back in June. Only had the four starts, one of the least exposed in the field, and I thought Wilhelmina represented good each way value.
Currently 10-1 in the market with us here at William Hill. Let's move on to the second race on the card, which is the 2:30. This is the Nayef Stakes. It was the Harvey Stakes once upon a time. Filly's listed race over a mile and a half. It's for three-year-olds and older. Betting headed by Journey, who is 6-4. 6-1 for Beautiful Morning. Beautiful Romance is 7-1. Could have a beautiful forecast there, couldn't you? Shawi is 8-1. 9-1 for Lady of Camelot. 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. Logical starting point here would be Journey. Alt won this race last year and arrives here in winning form this time around as well.
Yeah, let's hope her supporters haven't stopped believing, Mark. There you go. Going to go off a short price favourite, this filly by Dubawi Journey. The worry for me is the layoff. It's had quite a long time off the track, hasn't she? 118 days since winning a Group 3 at Haydock back in May. I don't know what the situation behind that. Perhaps they've waited for an autumn campaign, but that is a long layoff. They didn't campaign her like that as a three-year-old. They kept her on the go pretty much throughout the season. So that would be a worry. She has been well-backed at time with recording, but at the current prices, Mark, it'd be worth taking her on. I thought knocking each way bet to nothing here was Beautiful Morning. Got a gorgeous pedigree by Galileo, date with Destiny, who of course one of the few progeny by George Washington. Ran okay as a two-year-old when not knocked about, won a York Maiden, then ran well in the Filly's Mile, that was a Group 1, then ran very, very well indeed in a listed event back in May, steps up in trip, another one who's had that long layoff, 132 days, but Luca Camani's horses were struggling during the middle of the summer, and they're now in tip-top condition. They've got over the virus that has hit Newmarket extremely hard this summer. And with the Kamani horse in good form, Andrea Razzini riding at the top of his game, I thought Beautiful Morning at an each-way price was the one to be on here.
Beautiful Morning, then, the selection for Ollie in the 2:30. The 3:05 is the third race on the card. This is the Rockfell Stakes, a Fillies Group 2, over 7 furlongs. This is solely for the three-year-olds. No surprise to see Fair Eva quite short in the market. At the time of recording this, she's 4-7 at the top of the betting. 11-2 Exmouth, 10-1 for Argentary, 12-1 Glitter Girl and Spain Berg, 16s or bigger for the others. She finished third last time, Fair Eva, beaten by Queen Kindly at York in the Lowther. She was well fancied to win that race, all some considered it a bit of a disappointment, but I don't think she's necessarily run all that far below herself there.
No, I think she's a proverbial good thing here, Mark, dare I say it. Significantly easier race. There's no Queen Kindly and there's no Roly-Poly in this, of course.
No.
Roly-Poly rated quite highly by the Coolmore Ballydoyle team as well. They, of course, clash again on Saturday. So it'll be interesting to see if the form is franked looking towards the weekend, but there's no Queen Kindly in here. There's no Roly-Poly. Step up to 7 furlongs from 6 furlongs, I think, should definitely be right up her street. She absolutely brushed aside Nations Alexander on debut at Haydock, who of course reopposes here Richard Hannon's filly by Dark Angel. She looked, you know, a filly of a lifetime when winning the Princess Margaret at Ascot, but was beaten by, probably in hindsight, two very, very good horses in the Lowther. Steps up to 7 furlongs here, this filly by Frankel. There's nothing in the race, anything of the kind, of the two that beat her in the Lowther at York last time. And I think it's going to take a very, very good one to beat her, or for her to run significantly below what she's shown in her first three starts. Got an official rating of 110. Next best in our Miss Infinity and Nations Alexander, a full £9 lower on official ratings. Of course, they all run off levels here. Banker of the meeting, many would argue, and I find it very hard for Fair Eva to get beat here. I think she'll get back to winning ways.
I hope you're right. She looked an incredibly exciting filly beforehand. If she did run slightly below par last time, then, like you say, she's bumped into two very good fillies, and if she's anywhere near what we've seen of her so far, she'd win this, wouldn't she? So.
She would. Yeah. She's taken on some unexposed types, but I find it very hard to see her getting beat.
On to the big race of the day, then, on Friday, the 3:40. This is the Joel Stakes, a Group 2 contest over a mile. It's for three-year-olds and older. A field of 6 will go to post for this one. At the time of recording this, Nathra is the 9-4 favourite. Custom Cut is 3-1. Forge, 4-1. 13-2 for Amazing Maria. 7-1 Gifted Master. And Cougar Mountain is 10-1. Despite only 6 runners here, all, I think it's quite an interesting renewal, this.
Yeah, wide open, wide open. Got some horses here who are hard to predict. Custom Cut always runs his race but never wins. He's going to be around about probably the second favourite here. Nafra, there's question marks about her as well. The filly by Ifraj, of course, won the Nell Gwyn here on its return. Was fifth in the 1,000 gillies, second in the Group 1 at Deauville, but was very disappointed in the coronation. Has been given time off since 98 days since we last saw her. But she's got a question mark to answer, Mark, and she's probably going to go off favourite. I'll be looking to take her on. With Forge, another three-year-old in the race, was placed in Jersey at Royal Ascot and at Glorious Goodwood in a Group 3. Didn't run particularly well at York, but won a minor event at Haydock last time. Was entitled to do that, but Ken Pitterson has always regarded this horse, who's going to be better as probably as a four-year-old. I think he's still improving, Forge, the son of Dubawi. And at the current prices, would represent a bit of each-way value because there's a number of question marks about all of these. Amazing Maria doesn't appear to be the same filly as she was last year for David O'Mara. Custom Cut always runs his race but never wins, tends to find one too good. Cougar Mountain's often been highly tried but in this sort of company comes up short. And Nafra has been off the track since a very disappointing run in the coronation. So all of them have question marks to answer. I think Forge is still improving, the least exposed in the field, and I'm going to stick with Sir Michael Stout's son of Dubawi. Forge for me.
Forge then, the selection for Ollie in the final race. We look at the Joel Stakes. Let's just have a quick summary before you go, if you just want to relay your final selections for us then for Friday.
155 at Newmarket, I'm going with Wilhelmina each way. In the 230 at Newmarket, my selection is Beautiful Morning. The 305 at Newmarket, my selection and Nap is Fair Eva. And in the 340 at Newmarket, I'm going with Forge each way.
Superb. Good work, all. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Friday.
Thank you very much, John Boy.
There you go, the thoughts of Ollie Pimlott. On Friday's racing, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Gareth Topham, Andrew Mount and Rory DeLaghi in the studio. It's day 2 of the Cambridgeshire meeting at Newmarket. We've got Haydock and Worcester alongside that in the afternoon and an evening of all-weather action at Newcastle and Dundalk. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.